Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On today's big show, a classic from 2008 with comedian Louis Black and Dr. Will in studio. It's coming up right after this.
So you're in airplanes all the time.
Yeah, always on the airplanes. And
I got that pilot. You ever got the pilot who talks the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he thinks he's like a radio guy. You know, he thinks, hey, hey, everybody, is there your captain here in the cockpit? Like, where else are you going to be? In the bathroom? Of course, he's in the cockpit. And they're always telling us how many feet we're going up. I never understood that. Why are they telling us how many feet we're flying up? Mm-hmm. Because I'm a passenger, and he's busy going on about, hey, we're going to be going to altitude, 36,000 feet. Hey, I'm a passenger. Just go above the mountains and the trees. That's all I know.
That's all I need.
That's all I know. Go high. What do I care? I'm not writing this down. 33 or 36,000? What the hell is that? What did it say? What's it say on the gauge? How's our fuel? Who the hell cares? Tell the tower how many feet. Please. Let everyone else know. You know, but don't tell me. You know, it just keeps going on. On and on. It just drives me nuts. And then when you're up there, they start pointing out things you don't care about. Like, for those just sitting on the left side of the plane, if you look out your window, there's a cloud shaped like a duck.
What?
Son of a bitch woke me up again. What? I can't take it.
And then you have people from the other side wanting to climb over you to look
out. That's right. That's right.
That's
right. Yeah. The people, yeah, that's the thing. The people on the other side of the plane, it's true. They're always getting screwed. One side of the plane is always getting screwed. They never see anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the left side of the plane, there's the Grand Canyon.
On the right side,
well, you can look at the people looking out the left side of the plane. look at their faces. They're so amazed. And the only thing I never understood is why, whenever a plane goes down, they look for that flight recorder. I know comedians have brought this up before, but I cannot figure out why they look for it, because I can't imagine a pilot explaining, in the tape recorder what happened as they're crashing, because, you know, the pilot's like the rest of us. He's screaming and cursing all the way down on that thing. And that's all they hear. I think that's all they hear is cursing all the way down.
Right.
I can't imagine a pilot getting on there. Okay, we just hit a mountain. My fault.
Here's what happened.
Damn it. I'm really sorry. We're
fuselage.
That's right. Clipped the wing there is what I did. I clipped the wing just so they know this when we crash. I'm not going to hear that. You know,
by the way, you can see our left wing out the right side of the plane.
Hey, for those of you that have been getting cheated the whole flight on the left side of the plane, you can see. Here's the big bonus.
That's right. For those of you on the right side, you finally get to see some trees coming up really fast there. Look at those. I don't know.
He just wouldn't shut up the whole time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Apologize
That's
about the black smoke on the left side of the plane.
That's right. Yeah, I was pointing out something to him, and I'm really sorry. That's what happened. It truly was. Free booze. Hurry. Free booze.
Sorry.
Hurry. Right. Free drinks for everyone. And while we're spinning out of control, just want to thank all our passengers. What the hell? Well, we know you had a choice in airlines. And
you picked wrong.
You picked the wrong one, because we're going down.
Now, some more Bob and Tom.
You want it. You need it. You can't live without it.
This is Bob and Tom Extra.
Now, welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show, coast to coast.
Hello.
Comedian Louis Black has joined us in the studio. Louis, great to see you, sir.
Nice to see you guys.
And you are...
welcome.
You are on duty as a stand-up comedian, which has to kind of get in the way of your ability to watch some of these television programs you've got to comment on.
Yeah.
The convention, for example, the last couple of weeks.
Well, the one that I'm saddest about is missing that Getting Through the Hole show.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was on yesterday.
I saw a little promo for that. It actually looked like it was kind of fun.
It looked fun and it looked like we've completely have reached a point where we can entertain ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised there's not a pickup stick.
Yeah, it's like festival. human Tetris. Here it is.
It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not familiar with the show, Bob.
How did you miss this?
I saw the promo.
They've been showing this promo about every 3 minutes.
They have a cutout. This big wall comes at you, and in the middle is a cutout of a person running.
Okay. All right.
And the people have to, I guess, form that position
okay.
in order for the wall to pass
through. Say no more. I'm on board.
So, this is a television show.
Yeah, it's a television show. Yeah. The one promo they showed was a young lady who was, I want to say, overweight.
Uh-huh.
And there was no way she could pass through anything in that wall.
So she actually goes just directly through the wall.
Yeah, just burst right through.
That's entertaining.
And you wonder why I quit watching TV.
That's it.
Oh,
that's
come it. On. You mm-hmm. haven't quit watching TV entirely.
No. Well, almost.
Lewis Black has a number of things happening in his life, including a book.
Yeah,
Me of Little Faith, plus
Me of Little Faith.
I wanted to kind of go back. You started, as I understand it, as a playwright, which is, I mean, that's not a gig a lot of people go for. Did you want to write plays to be in them?
I wanted to actually write plays. I guess in order to. To live the life, really, of a crack whore. About the kind of income level that a playwright makes. I had a fascination with theater.
Did you always write a part for yourself?
No, I couldn't. I wasn't really. I ended up writing plays because I wanted to do theater, and I couldn't act. I couldn't do anything. But I liked the idea of writing plays, and I started in college. And I started young. I mean, like at 17, I started writing them.
Yeah, but and when was the segue into stand-up comedy?
I just started doing it on the side for fun,
right?
Because you can't, and partly you can't get your plays. You play, you know, if you get one play done a year, you're lucky. If you get anything done, but I could write stuff for myself and get up on stage, and outside of the context of getting up on stage in classrooms and stuff, I was, you know, I was funny. Mm-hmm. So,
are there any of your plays that looking back, you think maybe this isn't my best work?
Oh, yeah.
And if there is one, I bring this up for a reason. Why don't we take that one and turn it into a musical? Because it's sure to be a hit. We'll add some songs. It'll be
preferably ABBA music.
Yeah, that's the thing that drives me nuts. When the Broadway plays now are these horrible musicals.
I love musicals, story to be rewritten over and over.
They've brought back. What's the current South Pacific? I think it's a classic musical, but
they're not writing classics anymore. Is what you're saying?
No. Oh, there might be a few. Out there, but I don't think ABBA or whatever. Mm-hmm.
The Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia. Yeah,
oh, what a great show.
No, thanks. Well, but now you've gone for playwright. Now you become a comedian, and you've got lots of exposure on television, and you get to write a book. Have people now read it.
Yeah, apparently. My mother said when it actually made the Times bestseller list, and I told my mother, and she said, wow, who knew there were that many idiots out there?
Ah, the love of a mother.
My mom's 91. How old's your mom?
My mom's 90.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Just because they're blunt, mothers aren't always right.
You know, tell that to the psyche of a child.
Mm-hmm. Here, here.
Lewis is on tour. Yeah.
I
go to every day, yeah.
Mine's been dead for 3 years, and she's still talking to me. Yammer, 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 yammer.
Oh, there's never done. Yeah.
No, touch the flame.
Touch me.
Touch it. Touch it.
Yeah. Did your mother read your book?
Yeah, she did, and she liked it. She liked it, and she said... and you're really in trouble now.
Well, it's a book about religion, and you. One of the things you're always taught, that's something you just never talk about it. It can create nothing but problems for you.
Depending on the religion you're raised in, that's the only religion there is, and everyone else is wrong, and they're all going to hell. That's the way it's always been, I guess.
That's what I was taught.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah.
That's the way it should be.
That's right.
It's like switching teams. You know,
it
I mean,
is.
if you're born and raised in Philly, if you got to keep your affiliation.
Sure. And if you get traded to the White Sox, you're not going to go to heaven because you're a White Sox.
And the converts are always the ones who are the most.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. The reformed.
Yeah, I love the guy who would get up in front of the pulpit. Oh, yeah, I used to smoke and drink and whore around. Now I'm doing nothing with you people.
Thank you, Father Goldberg.
Wait a minute.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
J. Jim Rome takes on sports.
I will always have a complicated relationship with this game, but people evolve. So do sports. Do not make me regret this. Do not make me devolve back to that guy that so many clones wish that I still was. And do not embarrass the entire country. Now, I can go back. I can get there fast. Lose tonight, and you got a real problem. Do not blow it.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
You've been warned.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Now, when you went into writing the book, did you come out at the other side with some changed opinions?
I probably was no.
I could see that coming. He was hesitating. Actually, they were cemented.
No, but I was writing it from the standpoint of it's like about all of these people write books about like the kind of guy who. Who sees the light after, doing a year in jail and then all of a sudden and writes a book about it. And this is there. But there's all of this bunches of people who are just kind of, have some sort of vague sense of faith and stumble toward the light. And that's who I wrote the book for. Mm-hmm. It's a self-help book for people who aren't going to go to heaven.
All right. So if we read your book, do they
not need a healer?
And it wasn't. Am I correct in when we interviewed about the book first? Was it not an Easter release? Was that the?
Oh yeah, it was close.
Yeah.
Well, they actually had to bump it because of the picture, which has me walking on water. So.
Lewis Black is our guest.
When I was in Vegas, I saw the biggest picture of Lewis Black. The biggest picture almost of anyone I've ever seen. On a billboard. It was huge. Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah. How'd that go?
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of fun. Well, Vegas is, it's good for
it's Vegas, baby.
It's good for the Vegas, soul. Baby.
It's good for, it's a couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, I was working there 7 days, and, at a stretch. Because, you have that thing of, well, I'll set up in Vegas.
Sure. Well,
that'll be great.
Yeah.
Live there. I know Penn and Teller, and they've done it, but. Wow, we'd be 7 days at the MGM Grand, and my parents would come in, and they loved it. And they would get younger every day. Like they were being fed blood. by the fourth day, how many crap games can you
play? Play?
I found Vegas not my kind of town, really, that for that long.
It used to be more fun when there wasn't, a gazillion casinos, and it was like, oh boy, I can get steak and eggs for $2.99. Now it's like every restaurant is like.
Well, it'd be like if you're a kid and your parents moved to the Disneyland area. Well, after a while, you'd puke. I mean,
after a while, sure. Yeah. What about on the seventh day? Did your mom and dad have to get a fake ID to see the show?
No, but it was like they were sad. Oh, now we got
to
go home.
We have to go home.
Did they go every night to see you?
No, my mother goes. My mother comes in on the last 10 minutes to make sure they liked me.
Lewis Black is our guest, and one of the odd things about Vegas, how the sound is gone.
The casino. All of the bells and whistles that used to be the sound of winning.
Yeah.
Are no longer there.
I'm surprised from a psychological standpoint, Dr. Will Miller, that they did that. You think that they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's. I think that's a mistake.
What have they replaced it with? Is there?
It's
music?
A hip hop music.
Hip hop.
Yeah.
Music.
Yeah. It is.
Dance music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it when I watch sports now, I know the Fox Sports Network started this, there's always a screaming Yngwie Malmsteen guitar player. Can we no longer have any conversation without music in the background?
No.
Once again in the studio, we have Dr. Will Miller, comedian, psychologist, and we have Lewis Black, comedian, playwright.
Psychologist.
Psychotic.
Do you have any advanced degrees?
I have a master's in playwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
A master of fine arts. That's a good move.
Absolutely.
It is. That's a great degree.
Yeah, it is.
MFA, absolutely.
It sounds good on paper. Yeah. It's a real moneymaker.
Did you send that to the clubs back in the day instead of a photo?
I don't need it. Just wait for the money to roll in. All right.
Yeah, the manager of Mr. Giggles. Well, I see here.
Hello, Mr. Master Fine Arts.
here at the Laugh Hole, we pay
that's
more
right, yeah.
if you have an MFA.
You're opening.
Mr. Feature.
Louis Black is a stand-up comedian and a writer. We have a link, actually, if you go to our website. We have a drawing from our staff artist, Jordan Ward. Have you seen this picture we drew?
Yeah, it's nice.
Looks very nice. Yeah. It looks very distinguished, actually.
You know you're making noise when you start getting caricatures. Yeah.
The new book is called Me of Little Faith. Did you want to feature a little bit of Louis's stand-up?
Oh,
this
sure.
Little segment here we
pulled. Oh, is that
pulled.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I love his stand-up.
I lost my virginity to a record album. Those younger members of the audience probably haven't even seen one, have you? Boy, oh boy. It's a totally different experience, record albums, than from what we have now, CDs and digital downloads. Because now it's like unbelievable. Every time I press the button on the iPod and that happens, literally the expression on my face, I believe, is exactly the same as primitive man when he first saw fire. Now, see, with a record album, if you wanted to change the song because you didn't like the song, you had to work. You had to get up out of your chair and walk across the entire living room to get to the record player. And the record player has a tone arm with a needle in it. And then you've got to take that and find the right groove. And there are like a billion of them. Now, where the record would actually change and the next track would come up, it was a little bigger, but it's still like performing surgery.
Yeah.
Because now I want to find the song that's going to put us in the mood. And so you go scratch, 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 scratch. And then I went back to her. And I realized that the song that I actually wanted to make love to was on the other side.
There you go.
If you hadn't scratched your record with the needle, you certainly had when you were sitting on the couch one afternoon, and you'd taken the album out, and you'd taken the album cover, and used it to separate the stems from the seeds.
Yes, sir.
It's Louis Black on stage from his Comedy Central release, Anticipation.
Yep.
And that's a classic moment, I think, for all of us involving the arrival of the digital age.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And there's now a device you can take your vinyl and it'll go directly into your
iPod.
Yeah.
So you but there is something about that though. It forced you to listen to songs in a particular order
that listen to songs.
Yeah.
Because there are certain songs on an album that you go, "Oh my God, what a piece of junk."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't skip quick enough.
But you were too lazy to get up and go over there and move the tone over.
Because you were separating the seeds from the stems.
Yeah. And suddenly the music sounded a lot better.
You know, I never really gave this song a chance.
But there are certain generational things. For example, there was nothing more annoying than the handful of bands that released albums that weren't square.
Yeah.
E Pluribus Funk.
E Pluribus Traffic. Remember that trapezoidal thing that Traffic released?
Yeah. Was it Through the Past Darkly or something by the Stones? That was kind of a weird
You cannot clean pot on a round album cover.
Now we're getting to Bob's
and the worst part is I had them stacked on the floor and it would roll out all by itself.
Yeah.
Pick me. No.
Well, that's why they did it.
Yeah, my claim is that's why the reason the CD doesn't sell is because you can't use that to separate anything from anything.
It's too small.
It's too small. You could kill somebody if you threw it at their head, and that's about it.
But think of all the things we've lost. Bob, you've got the T-shirt that has the drawing of that little thing.
The insert.
Stick in the middle of a 45.
45 insert.
The little yellow thing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they make them somewhere in China, but boy, those.
you can buy all you want at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's their logo.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've got that. But there's so many things our culture. How about the 8-track?
They're gone. Oh, those were the days.
Because with the 8-track, you'd know where in Frampton Comes Alive.
It would click to the next.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
Hey, I'm Chris Van Vliet. Go behind the scenes and beyond the headlines with the biggest names in pro wrestling and beyond.
Mr. Sandman.
All I ever wanted to be was a pro wrestler. So I got to live my life and make people really happy.
The Heartbreak Kid himself, Shawn Michaels.
Do you think there's anybody better than you were?
I think I was great at what I did. And I think other people were great at what they did as well. Greatness is more a mindset, I think, than anything else.
Mindset, motivation, insight with Chris Van Vliet. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.